It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
And the hits just keep on coming, don't they? With classified documents on parade, 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 parade. You know, Joe Biden, they're coming out of his nose. And now we got Mike Pence, the other vice president, with documents he shouldn't have had. But, you know, you got to give him a little credit. I mean, he went to all of his homes and offices and all that and went, you know, shuffling through everything and turned this stuff around in fast order. But, you know, as I've said in the beginning, going back to G.W. Bush, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, all of these guys had documents they weren't supposed to have, and it was just kind of a little nothing burger. Here they are, National Archives, thank you. But, you know, Donald Trump, FBI, CIA, KGB, all of them. You know, the Mossad, MI6, get them in there. I promise you that we would be talking to the former champ today. I'm sure he'll be champ again, Jose Ramirez, but it's not worked out because of training, okay? The only time he had available today is 1 o'clock, and in the 1 o'clock hour, we have the regular get-together with my Tuesday other half, and that's Steve Hilton from the Daily California podcast and Fox News. So hopefully tomorrow for the champ, all right? Tomorrow. You know, I learned how out of touch I am with America's favorite pastime, one of them, and that's going to the movies. I'm looking at this list just out today of the 2023 Oscar nominations, and I have no clue what I'm looking at. I only recognize one thing, and that's Top Gun Maverick, which, by the way, I thought was a phenomenal motion picture. I was not a fan of the first one. Hated it. Just not my thing. You know, jock movie with Tom Cruise. Bleh. But this sequel, many, many, many years later, with Val Kilmer in a very touching, sad, gripping role as a dying admiral, this was a phenomenal film. You know, I'll go as far to say, and again, I'm not a fan of the old, you know, the first one. This is one of the best pictures I've ever seen. It's a great picture. Well acted. Ensemble cast was good. Storyline was good. But getting back to the Oscars, that was the only one I recognized. There's one particular movie that has 11 nominations. It's called Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Something like that. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. I never heard of it. The cast is about 90% Asian, and it's described as a hilarious, big-hearted science fiction action film about a Chinese-American woman who's too exhausted to do her taxes. Huh? that combination of terms is lost to me. Big-hearted and science fiction? What is a big-hearted science fiction film? But this thing has got 11 nominations. Now, I don't know if it's got 11 nominations because of political correctness, or maybe it is. It's a very, very good movie. Do you know anything about it? Everything, Everywhere, All at Once? We'll talk about it later, okay? There's a huge Gallup poll that says the majority of us Yankees here in the U.S. of A. hold a very high majority negative view of U.S. healthcare. You know, 62% of us don't like it. Now, that's a switcheroo, folks. In the early 2010s, of us back in the early 2010s gave it that rating, 62%. Now, how do we rate American healthcare? Only 48% of us like it. So there it is. It's in the dumpster. Why is that? Gee, I can't imagine. I mean, yeah, we can go through all that, but I think we already know. There's another push for statehood for not Puerto Rico, but for Washington, D.C. You know, the bill to give Washington, D.C., there's another one here, the right to be a state for real is out there. I can't think of a way to even further politicize the most political geography on the entire planet than giving statehood and partisan representatives to the District of Columbia. The answer for me is no, absolutely not. Ron DeSantis making news again in Florida, this time with education. Indoctrination, in his words, as he defends his move to ban an African-American studies curriculum. Okay, this has brought about some headlines. When I first saw this, I thought the governor was like, oh, wait. You want to rethink this, please? This is an advanced placement class on African-American studies. Good deal. But what's in the curriculum, what's stuffed in there, what's hidden in there, is this self-defined queer agenda, using their terms. And what has that got to do with African-American studies? This is being tested in about 60 or so schools until, you know, they yank the curriculum, which is going to happen. And, you know, I don't know what the authors are trying to say here about, you know, infusing this queer curriculum into advanced African-American studies. Come on. What has it got to do with it? They must have just been, well, I'm sure they were just looking for a niche, you know, a crevice, a cubbyhole somewhere where they could stuff this agenda that they've been trying to put into, you know, the context of higher education to a certain degree. So who are the first individuals, you know, complaining about this in this advanced African-American studies class? It was a number of advanced African-American students, that's who, that pointed this out and said, hey, wait a minute. The great state of Texas making a move to ban Chinese and Russians from purchasing property. This is the beginning of something that we're going to see be happening. We're going to see happening across the country, state by state. I think a number of states are going to go in this direction. And you know, there are 17 states that are considering it as I speak. President Biden's push to overhaul the immigration system in this country, in his infinite wisdom, everything that he has blessed has a piece that approves blanketed amnesty and citizenship for all illegal aliens already here. Correct? Correct. This is what he wants. Well, in a stunning bit of border-to-border research, no pun intended, about the southern borders, this number is amazing. 14%, not 40, 14% of Americans support Joe Biden on giving them citizenship and amnesty. 14%. That number is way, way down from where it used to be. Why? Obviously, because the president and the vice president have let this run amok. 14%, 1/4 of Americans approve Biden's plan for amnesty and citizenship for all illegal aliens. 60% of the people in this country say those who have entered illegally need to be deported now, ASAP. 57% of Hispanic voters believe those who have entered the country illegally should be expelled ASAP right now. 57%. Again, Biden and Kamala Harris let this go too far. Way too far. Also a player in this whole gigantic majority that does not support giving, you know, illegal aliens amnesty and citizenship is this fact. It's the terrorist watch list at the southern border. It has soared during the Biden administration. And when I say it's soared, it's soared. It's gotten huge. There are only 3 arrests to date in the year 2020 of individuals trying to cross the border that were on the terror list. Since Biden has been in office, just in the year 2022, there were 100 arrests. Unbelievable. During the 4 years of President Trump's administration, 11 individuals from the terror watch list were arrested. Now for Joe Biden, remember I just gave you the number for, you know, 2022, which was 100. It's in the high hundreds, you know, since the Biden administration has come to pass that have, you know, been arrested at the border that were terrorists, known terrorists, suspected to be terrorists. I mean, yeah. And you think that has anything to do with why only 14% approve amnesty and citizenship for those already here illegally? Now, what about a term that the Border Patrol uses, the gotaways? What do the gotaways look like? During the Biden administration, they're estimating the gotaways for just last year at 1.2 million. 1.2 million. Put that in your pipe and do what you need to do with it. You know, and you think there's no reason to impeach Secretary Mayorkas at Homeland Security? My God. I mean, come on. But yeah, I mean, again, on the terror watch list, since the Biden administration has, you know, befallen the United States of America, the numbers are gigantic of individuals that theoretically could bring us great harm entering through the southern border. I've always said this is an issue of defense and national security over and over again. I just wish somebody would listen. Please. Here's a story. I got time? Yeah, I do. Here's a story. If it weren't for one name, it would have been a massive story today with big, bold black headlines splattered across the front of every newspaper. But because the name Trump is in it, we find that a top FBI agent who is involved in the Trump-Russia probe has been arrested for conspiring with the Russians. This is an agent whose name has been in the news before. Have you heard of Charles McGonigal? Senior Special Agent, New York? Yeah, he's made news before. This is who we're talking about. He's with the Counterintelligence Division in New York. He's been busted. He's been popped along with a guy by the name of Sergei Chestakov. This happened yesterday. What are they doing? Stay tuned, and I'll tell you why they got popped. So, Steve Hilton today, we got a lot to talk about with California when he joins us at 1 o'clock. One of the things I want to talk about is the Monterey Park shootings and the killings there and all of this noise by the left using white supremacy. White supremacy. It's a white supremacy and white nationalism. The shooter was Asian. I'll have more to say about this when we come back from the first break on Newstalk 580-1059 KMJ, the first break of the Ray Appleton program. I'm glad you're here, so get ready to rock right after this.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Get Ray Appleton. Subscribe to the Ray Appleton Podcast right now. It's free.
Today's Daily Buzz question, KMJNow.com. If the FDA recommends an annual COVID-19 vaccination, will you do it? Will you do it? Let us know, KMJNow.com. And the Buzz question is sponsored by the king of COVID vaccinations, these Buzz Allergy, Asthma, and Sinus Centers. So there. What I was saying about the Monterey Park shootings is that I'm just really getting sick of hearing over and over and over again that this is all about white supremacy and bigotry. You know? I mean, the Democrats keep tweeting that over and over and over again. And it's the, you know, the same list of characters. Chuck Schumer, his comments. Adam Schiff, his comments. The Wisconsin State Representative, Democrat Francesca Hong, right? We are a nation of broken people. We are a broken nation to have mass shootings and white supremacy reign terror in our community. You know, Ms. Hong, a Democrat from Wisconsin, as I mentioned, is fully aware of who did the shooting. And it was an Asian shooter. It was an Asian who did the shattering. And these politicians that I've mentioned and others, I mean, they give no reason for attaching bigotry and white supremacy to this tragic shooting. You know, and again, we have learned the shooter is Asian. We still have no motive for the killings. That's very unclear. But we know who did this, and it didn't have anything to do with, you know, white supremacy. Maybe there's bigotry in this guy's head somehow, some way, but just to hear this over and over again, the Democrats, not all of them, but so many in public service have stepped so far over the line. I mean, we can see just through them, like Casper the Friendly Ghost, that what they're saying means nothing because it's wrong, it's a lie, and it's just a complete fabrication for nothing more than pure partisan politics. That's it. That's it. Now, I gave you some numbers about us in the United States and how we feel about Joe Biden's plan to give amnesty and citizenship to all illegal aliens in this country, of which there are an estimated 1.2 million gotaways, along with the 250,000 that came through in just December alone. I mean, these numbers, you can't even write them all on a chalkboard. There's so many. But here's one of the big ones. I mean, the number of people on the nation's terror list who've been arrested at the southern border crossings, that number has soared under the Biden administration, according to a brand new report just released. The U.S. Customs and Border Patrol Protection, folks, their data has jumped from just 3 arrests of individuals on the list at the border in 2020 to 100 in 2022. Now, 2023 has just begun, right? Just started. 38 individuals on the terror list have already been busted this year. This year's not even that old. Does anybody care about this? You listen to the program. How many times have I said, you know, the border needs to be treated as an area of security, defense, concern, period. You know, we've got to have a secure border. We have to have our own water supplies. We have to have our own food supplies domestically. End of statement. And on both, all three of them were in big trouble. Big trouble. In this, the year of World War III, according to Nostradamus. I'm sorry, I keep bringing that up. I just think it's so apropos, you know, with everything else that we've been talking about. So, in 2021, Biden's first year in office, 15 arrests of individuals that are on the terror list happened within the first few weeks while he was in the White House. The number, 5 times higher than the year previous under the Trump administration. And the statistics have gone through the roof since 2022. During the 4 years under President Donald Trump, how many people on the terror watch list were arrested at the southern border? Do, 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 11. Just 11 in 4 years. Just 11 in 4 years. How many arrested in 2022 during the Biden administration? 100. You know, the high numbers under the Biden administration do not include the number of gotaways, people who have eluded the Border Patrol while entering the USA. And the CBP has estimated 1.2 million gotaways are out there getting away during the Biden administration, although the exact number is unknown. So the report of, I guess we could say, increased terror watch list arrests at the southern border adds to the record numbers of migrants illegally crossing into the USA in December. The Border Patrol has about, let's see, what do we got here? Can't even read my own writing. 251,000 encounters with migrants last month. That's the highest number in this nation's recorded history. Been on the air less than a half an hour, and I'm already losing my voice. So it's been reported last month's number, combined with the first 2 months of the fiscal year 2023, October and November, put the U.S. on track to have 3 million illegal alien, what they call encounters, at the U.S. border for this year. 3 million. December statistics also mark 10 straight months of 200,000 or more migrant encounters per month on the nation's southern border. I mean, when you see these numbers of only 14% of Americans approving amnesty and citizenship for those already here, do you get it? Not 14%. Of course you get it. The Biden administration, the border-led crisis. We've got one particular representative, Pat Fallon, a Republican. He's addressing the articles of impeachment against the Homeland Security Secretary, Alejandro Mayorkas. Fallon introduced, I told you about this, the articles of impeachment against Mayorkas in the House earlier this month. Quote, since day one, Secretary Mayorkas and his policies have undermined law enforcement activities at our southern border. From perjuring himself before Congress about maintaining operational control of the border, to the infamous Whipgate slander of our Border Patrol agents. Remember when they were accused of whipping Haitians? And they didn't. Not even close to it. Secretary Mayorkas has proven time and time again that he is unfit to lead the Department of Homeland Security. I'm making a bet right now that this guy will retire within 60 days. He will quit. He will pull himself out. Mayorkas will resign. Continuing with Fallon's quote, "The willful actions have eroded our immigration system, undermined Border Patrol morale, jeopardized American national security." Yeah, if you look at the terror watch list, he has violated the law and it's time for him to go. Now, in November, I think it was, Representative Kevin McCarthy, have you heard of him, called for Mayorkas to resign, hinting the impeachment plan the GOP would pursue after taking back power in the House in January. That has all come to pass. McCarthy says, if Secretary Mayorkas does not resign, House Republicans will investigate every order, every action, every failure, and will determine whether we can begin impeachment inquiries. And with that in mind, this is why I feel within 60 days, he's going to voluntarily walk. You know, Biden's recent visit to El Paso coincided with the announcement concerning migrants to allow, 30,000 people per month from Venezuela, Haiti, and Cuba, and Nicaragua to enter the U.S. This policy would also expand Title 42 expulsions to include all four countries. And the opponents argue that the changes provide no real solution to migrants crossing the border. The Biden plan instead switches the numbers around while failing to lower the number of overall migrants entering the USA. That question of why he is so in love of letting people into this country illegally is a mind boggler, because as a senator, I mean, he wanted, I'm going to exaggerate here, but he wanted to build a wall that was 8 feet thick with concrete, and not let a soul in. But now, he's to the farther left than those individuals who are already out there on the farther left. They've really influenced him. And I don't know why. Because it's not the Joe Biden I knew as a senator or even a vice president. I mean, he was a legit tough guy then when it comes to these issues. Right now, he's a pussycat. But, 1.2 million gotaways, 100 individuals arrested on the terror watch list in just 2022, during the entire 4 years of Donald Trump, 11. What's wrong with this picture, people? What's wrong?
This is the Ray Appleton Show on News Talk 580, 105.9 KMJ, and KMJNow.com.
Click the podcast page at KMJNow.com.
Speaking of the phone lines and those numbers that Mr. Big Voice just gave you, Patrick is sitting there. Patrick, what's going on? You're on KMJ. Hi.
Hey, thanks, Ray. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been around since the Clinton fiasco, and here lately over the last few years, I felt that the word impeachment has gotten less and less effective because it doesn't sound very bad anymore. I don't know if that makes sense. But, it's supposed to be this really sacred thing that only certain have time. And now it's like left and right. Everybody, this is impeachment. You talked about the gentleman getting impeached. And I'm just confused on how it's become more and more of the part of the language than it used to be when I was younger, where it was like it's a huge deal. I mean, it's still a huge deal, but it seems like it's thrown around a lot.
Yeah, it's been diluted. It's been watered down simply because of the field day that the left tried to have with Donald Trump. I mean, look at they impeached an individual who was a private citizen after he was president. Remember? You can't do that under any and all circumstances. That would have never happened. But it was such extraordinary times. That let it roll through. Here's a guy that is no longer president of the United States and he still gets impeached. I mean, figure that one out. So since we're impeaching common citizens for, being common citizens, I suppose it doesn't have a lot of value anymore. So I get it, Patrick. Thank you. But it is that term that has to be used to legally remove some public servants from office. And in the case of Mayorkas, in the beginning, I thought it was overkill. I thought it was stupid. I'm like, all right, Republicans, take a step back, quit playing tit for tat. But now, with a thorough understanding of what the secretary's job is supposed to be and what he's been doing in reality, he does need to be impeached. I couldn't make a greater case for impeachment against the guy than what the Republicans have already done based upon what he hasn't done, and that's protect us and our border, he being, you know, Mayorkas. Here in California, 40% of cars that are sold have had some relation to new cars, to being ZEVs, you know, zero emission. All right? About 19% of all the cars sold last year were zero emission cars, accounting for 40% of all ZEV vehicles, including hybrids in the USA. California, I mean, seems to be really big on electric cars. And I bring this up because Biden has called for 50% of all new vehicle sales by 2030 to be, you know, electric vehicles or plug-in hybrids. And I don't know that they've even, forgive me, I don't know much about them. I don't even know that they protected the, you know, perfected that technology yet. Now, Gavin Newsom, the governor, first announced the plan in 2020 to phase out vehicles that run only on gasoline by 2035. last year, the state moved to require all new vehicles sold in the U.S., in the state by 2035 to be PHEV, and I'll explain what that is, or fully electric. And about 12% of the cars sold in 2021 were ZEVs, zero emission. So a database collated by the California Energy Commission showed Friday that about 346 ZEVs were sold in California in 2022. With Tesla Inc., the Model 3, leading the sales chart, as about 95,000 of the electric vehicles were sold in the region. That's a lot for, I mean, you know, to driving a Tesla. It's pretty amazing. Austin, Texas-based Tesla Model Y, the compact SUV, came in a very close second. 94,000 of those sold in the state. So Californians bought about 51,000 plug-in hybrid electric vehicles last year, and about 80,000 electric vehicle chargers were installed in the state in 2022. These are big numbers that have leaped up incredibly so from the previous year. About 286,000 battery electric vehicles with a range of 200 miles or more were sold in 2022. Now, I'm kind of giggling at all of this, going, yeah, come on. I mean, it is what it is. Who's the guy that went out and spent $5,000, $6,000 on an electric bicycle with a sidecar for his dog? Right. You got it. That would be Raymond Appleton. And I have yet to make my public debut on that. Not that I need one. Right now, here, I waited so long for this bicycle and the sidecar to show up. June, July, August, September, October. It took 7 months to get it, you know, and I've ridden it once since I've had it, and now it's so jam-packed in the garage at my new place, I can't even get to it if I wanted to. It's just totally barricaded by boxes, you know, and everything that had to come out of the house when there was that flood on Friday the 13th that, don't ask. Somebody, hey, I found out yesterday that all the kitchen cabinetry is soaked. So I'm probably going to lose the whole kitchen. Got to pull the whole kitchen out too. You ever had a move like that? Where you move into that final resting place where you're going to have peace and more privacy and you've downsized and all of a sudden everything goes wrong? Michael's shaking his head. Yeah, that's the latest. Oh, your kitchen's got to come out, by the way. Just stay in the hotel. You should be able to move into your new place sometime about 2027 thereabouts. I think we'll be done with it. But, you know, as somebody brought this up the other day, where's the bicycle? It's in my garage. If you can get to it and get it out for me, that'd be great. But anyway, my whole point is this, just very quickly, to satiate my own curiosity. Have you bought an electric vehicle recently or a hybrid? You listening right now? And if so, what do you think? I know a number of people recently in my little circle of friends who, no, I'll never have one. I'm not going to have it. And they all have one. Five of them. Three of them, hardcore. Will never. Hardcore. Hey, look what I got. So this is a technology that's taking over slowly but surely. Now, I mean, I've already confessed to my love of a new electric vehicle of the future, and that's what Volkswagen's doing to bring back their old hippie bus from the 60s. Have you seen this thing? It's so cool looking, all electric. It runs about $60,000. I mean, it's a beautiful little thing, you know. If I had all the money in the world, I'd probably get one just for kicks, since I like cars. But I'm curious, just for a little bit here, have you bought, are you part of this huge group of Californians that has bought an EV or a ZEV, you know, zero emissions vehicle, hybrid or all electric or otherwise? I would love to know. Is that John, Michael? You spell that rather uniquely. John, you're on KMJ. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
Hey, Ray, you're not getting feedback, are you?
No.
Okay, great. Hey, listen, absolutely love my Tesla.
Oh, this thing talk is to me.
Godsend. Okay, here, the bottom line is here. I get to turn around and plug that thing in right in my garage. I don't have to deal with Costco gas. I don't have to deal with the lines. I don't have to deal with any of those issues anymore. Majority of people bellyache about the fact of, oh, yeah, but you can't take it out of town, the range. Well, I get 320 miles of range. It's more than enough to go on a single charge all the way out to the coast to San Francisco and stop off and get a charge to come back. Same thing that people do with gas. In addition to that, 99.9% of our daily driving is done within 25 miles of our front door.
Sure.
The technology that comes with the car is way superior to anything else that Tesla is offering. And so whether or not your car has an issue or it knows exactly where you are, you know, just the luxury and the easy aspect of owning it, it's so simple. It's like driving a freaking golf cart. That goes a ridiculous amount of speed. It's fantastic. So it recognizes when you're walking up to the car. It knows who you are. You know, you don't have to stick a key in ignition. You don't have to deal with the gas again. None of that. You just get in the car and go.
Wait, stop right there. When it knows you. So if somebody else tried to get in the car and go, it wouldn't go. It's you. Wow, I didn't know they did that. Can I ask you some other questions?
Yeah, it goes through your phone. So okay. Once you have the app associated with your phone directly, and also you keep the key card itself, which is about the size of a credit card, inside of your wallet, so it senses, it knows who has the card.
All right, John, I got to take a break. Thank you. I didn't realize I was running so late, but you've opened up a little can of worms there that I need to pursue after this commercial break. And you on the line, stay there, because I want to talk to you about your electric car, and we'll ask these hypothetical questions right after this on GMJ.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
This is the Ray Appleton Show.
Get Ray Appleton.
KMJNow.com.
Click the podcast page.
Hello. Getting back to it, your electric cars, with selling in California like nowhere else probably in the world. Well, at least in the United States. Just, you know, have you succumbed to this? Marty, you're on the air. Hi.
How are we doing today?
Good.
Okay. I'm on my second electric car. I'm looking at buying my third one now. I drive a lot of in town every day, between 100 and 200 miles a day, and it works out fantastic. The one I've got now, I've got 83,000 miles on it. The only maintenance I've had, I've bought one set of tires. It plugs into my house every night. I'm from when I've still got a Chevy truck, and I would spend at least $1,000 a month on gas. So now I'm spending zero with my solar. I'm saving about $1,000 on my house electric bill and $1,000 on the car.
May I ask what
more than covered.
The car that you're talking about right now? You say you got a few of them, but what is the car that you're talking about right now? If you don't mind telling me, what is the brand?
I'm driving a Chevy Bolt.
Okay.
And I'm gonna purchase another Chevy Bolt.
All right.
You know, replace this one. This is 2018, and I have a business, so I need to get another write off. Time to get rid of this one.
When you decide to sell the 2018, would you please sell it to my producer? This is exactly what he needs. May I ask what a new one approximately goes for?
You know, they're about $35,000.
Okay. Okay.
If you buy an electric car under $55,000, right now you get $7,500. Federal tax credits, and I'm not sure on the state. There's somewhere between $2,000 and $3,500 state credits, and then we have San Joaquin air pollution credits here in the valley, which could, I'm not sure exactly where that changes all the time. I know it's at least $1,500, so there's close to $10,000 in credits. The San Joaquin, you get a direct check from them, but state and federal, it's tax credits, which, hey, it's direct money.
One question I've always wanted to ask. You have an electric car. You can plug it in every night. You're on the road. You're going on a vacation. You're going somewhere where you've never been before. How do you know where to go to plug the darn thing in to get it recharged?
You hit a button on your dash, it'll tell you where the closest electric charging station is.
Of course. And what does it cost to charge a car on the road? I'm sure it's not free.
No, and you know, I can't even tell you. I've charged it one time on the road. I've got two other cars, and I've taken this up to Auburn above Sacramento and to Oakland a couple times, but I don't even know what it was. I mean, I've only done it maybe three times that I've charged it elsewhere.
All right, but it's no big deal, right? It's not hundreds or something like
no.
that. Okay.
No. I think it was, when I was in Auburn, it was maybe $20 or $25 to charge it.
Wow. And how? What's the distance on the Volt? How many miles can you go?
I get between 250 and 300 on a charge.
God, that's acceptable.
Yeah, and you know, it's not. I don't recommend it for somebody that just buys a car and it sits in their garage, and you know, they drive 20 miles a week or you know 50 miles a week. You better drive it to make it pay for itself.
I got you, Marty. Thank you. You know, I'm obviously warming up to this technology, you know, and Marty has got a number of these cars. There's somebody who's genuinely sold. And like I said, I've got four or five friends, hardcore gas freaks, classic car enthusiasts. No. And they all have, and they love it. They love it. So just exploring these big numbers just released today of electric cars in the state of California, I mean, it's just like people seem to be really glomming onto them. Have you crossed over? If so, I want to know how it's going. All right? 490-5858 and 800-776-5858. It's KMJ. It's the Ray Appleton Program. Steve Hilton from the Daily California Podcast and Fox News. 1 o'clock this afternoon.
It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.